Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message. Hello, everyone. My name is Pastor Harold Long. Welcome to our message series titled The Insurgents, Proclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. It's a message series off our book that we're studying right now called Insurgents, Recovering the Gospel of the Kingdom by Frank Viola. So it's a sermon series, six-part sermon series, followed, including a small group, Zoom group, that we're doing right now. So it's been dynamic. We're in week four of our message series. Today's message is titled Entering and Enjoying the Kingdom. And again, this is based off part four in the book, session four, in the book and all the chapters that go with it. So they're small chapters, but they're pretty extensive. Each one of them has a lot of meat on the bone. If we were really to do a thorough sermon series on this entire book, we'd be here for the entire year. I mean, literally all 52 weeks. But we narrowed it down. We're picking out some big themes that we're trying to bring home to help us get the most out of the book. But to do justice, you're gonna really need to get the book and study it and study with others. And it'll really make a difference in how your life turns out. And it really answer a lot of questions and broaden the spectrum of what it means to live a Jesus-centered life, to follow a Jesus-looking God, and to live a kingdom life, to live in the kingdom of God, which is not of this world. So the world system and the kingdom of God, two different things. And it's important to know that if you're going to follow Jesus and live a spiritually centered life. I want to recap part one, part two, and part three of our message series before we dive into part four of the insurgents. And so I just want to briefly recap where we've been with that. In part one, Frank introduces us to the radical gospel of the kingdom. And it's a radical gospel, really honing in on the book of Acts, where he defines what it means to follow Jesus in a real sense, really modeling ourselves after first century Christians. And he calls us to live under his lordship, rejecting the world system of power and self-reliance, which if you inventory today's culture and the and religious community, even the spiritual community, and definitely the Christian community, you can see where that is prevalent in a lot of ways. Part two delves deeper into how the kingdom opposes the kingdom of darkness, if you would, the empire of darkness. And definitely that world exists. And it challenges the personal and societal idols that enslave us as people. So we get enslaved by worldly things, power, glory, prestige, especially here in the West, in America. How can we not? We live in the greatest country in the world. Everything we ever want is right here, but it also consumes us and holds the title to our soul, no question. And then in part three, we explored what it means to be a kingdom citizen, to live as a citizen, a full citizen in the kingdom, not in the world system, but in the kingdom of God, and how to practically live that out. What does that really mean? To live out this radical gospel in our everyday lives, right? To walk in the kingdom values of love, humility, service, and justice. What does that look like? And so we unpack that. So if you haven't listened to any of the previous messages, I encourage you to go back and do that. Spend some time in the book, spend some time in these chapters before you just dive into this message. You can download our app. All the sermon notes are inside the app, so I encourage you to do that. There's a link here at the bottom of the screen. You can see that. You can go to your app store, download it, go under notes, boom, there's a sermon series. Here are all the notes for today's message and all the previous messages. So you have everything you need to really get in and dive into this. Now in part four, we step into the beautiful promise of what it means to enter and enjoy the kingdom, right? And the kingdom is not just something we enter in the future, but we live it here now. We enjoy it here now. It's a response. The gospel of the kingdom is a response. It's not something you do. It's something you respond to. But there's a lot of things that get in the way of that response. And that's that spiritual separation. You hear me talk all about, I write all about it. I talk all about it all the time. But that's ultimately the human dilemma, spiritual separation. And this has a lot to do with it. So introducing part four, entering and enjoying the kingdom. In this section, we move into the kingdom to experience it, right? And Jesus doesn't call us to observe the kingdom from a distance. We're not supposed to just look down in the valley and go, oh, there it is. See it? You know, that's not what we're called to do. He invites us to fully participate here and now. It's about living in the God's presence under his rule with joy, peace, and purpose. Living a life of love and service. That's what we're called to do. And so I want to start by looking at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. In this message series, I'm using the NLT, the New Living Translation. You might see some other references. Frank definitely references different versions in his writing, ESV, NIV, New King James, different versions for different reasons, for different contexts, for different emphasis. But in this particular message series, I'm pretty much relying on the NLT. And so looking at chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, and I quote, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there, for the kingdom of God is already among you," end quote. So Jesus is clear, friends. The kingdom isn't a distant, far off reality. It's right here, right now. Salvation isn't past, present, and future. It's not in the future, but it is past, present, and future. That's what I meant to say. It's not something that's going to happen when we die. It's right here. It's right now. And it's here. And how do we experience it? Well, that's the challenge, is where this chapter is going to really guide us and help us to do a better job at that, helping us understand and enjoy the kingdom right here, right now, which is what we're called to do. So you're invited to go on that journey. God gives us the invitation to the gospel. It takes two to say yes to the invitation. I can promise you God already said yes to you before you were ever born. So despite your life, the hurts, habits, hang-ups, the broken hearts, the burnt bridges, you pull open the blinds, look out in the distance, you see Mount Wreckage, your life sitting out there in the back, and you don't understand how you could be in right relationship with a power that created everything because of this spiritual disqualification, today's gospel really helped us lean into that. So some key points on this chapter is, number one, is entering the kingdom is a lifestyle surrender, right? It begins with surrender. And like Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, and I quote, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up the cross, and follow me," end quote. That's the commandment. And so the kingdom is not about what we can achieve. It's about letting go of control and allow it to lead us, right? So we can't control the kingdom. We can't manipulate the kingdom. We can't force it into corners or in circles or to thy will, my will, but we have to die to it, surrender to it. C.S. Lewis says, and I quote, "Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it." The entry point to truly experience the gospel of kingdom is surrendering to God's will. It's dying to self. You got to come to the end of yourself. And for a lot of people, I mean, you got to be in a lot of pain and you got to be in a lot of shambles to get to that space. You don't have to be, but for a lot of people, that's the case. You have to burn your life into the ground before you're really willing to surrender and do it someone else's way. But here's the reality. You keep doing what you're doing. You keep getting what you're getting. You got to do something different. And so just imagine you're on a roller coaster. We have Six Flags over Mid-America here in St. Louis. And the only way to enjoy the Batman ride or the Screaming Eagle or the Ninja or any of those big roller coasters is you got to stop trying to control it, right? You have to surrender to the twists, to the turns, and to the loops. You just got to go with it. Stick your arms up and just, whee, right? That's what you got to do. And the kingdom is much the same. You can't enjoy it if you're constantly trying to control everything about it. You'll drive yourself insane, and it's not meant to do that. The second point is that we discover the kingdom is simple, everyday practice of spiritual principles in all of our affairs, or in more religious terms would say obedience, being obedient to spiritual principles. Or you can say practice. I prefer the word practice. I think it just sounds better, and I think it's more meaningful that we're going to practice these spiritual principles, because none of us do it perfect. Let's be honest. Are any of you perfectly obedient to everything that's laid out for you? Absolutely not. So we practice, but through that practice of sanctification and God's perfect love, we get shaped, we get changed, we grow, we spiritually mature, we achieve emotional growth in our life, and we start to change, and it's beautiful, and the mind gets renewed, and this is all part of the God's promises throughout Scripture. The kingdom isn't always grand. It isn't always visible. It's often hidden. It's awful small. Everyday acts of obedience, everyday acts of practicing these principles in all of our affairs. Matthew 25, verse 40 says, and I quote, reminds us of this, "I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me," end quote. So it's that dying to self. It's living that life of humility, other-centeredness, self-sacrifice, and loving everybody, including your enemies. That's the kingdom model for out there to live. And when you're doing that, it's amazing what happens to your life. That's where the magic's at. But unless you're out there doing it, you never experience the magic. Jesus calls us to see him in ordinary ways, to serve others and to love the unlovable, give generously without expecting anything in return. Like I said last week, I had an old mentor of mine, Bill Piper, and Bill used to say it all the time, Harold, you got to do something nice for somebody once a day, and if you get caught, well, it doesn't count. Try it. That's not easy to do because of your ego. And when we do this, we're not just serving people, but we're stepping into the kingdom. That's what the kingdom life is all about. And so lots of illustrations for that, but it's like planting seeds. You don't always see the results immediately, right? But with each small obedient act, the kingdom of God, it grows, it flourishes in us. And that's how Jesus works, through small, faithful actions that lead to significant outcomes. Last night I was in the prison walking across the yard with my buddy Mike, and a fellow offender was coming towards us, and he stops and he goes, "Hey man," he lights up and he goes, "You were in Bon Terre in 2014, the prison down here in Bon Terre, Missouri." I go, "Yeah, yeah." He goes, "Johnson's last name." I said, "Hey, Johnson, I hadn't seen him in 10 years, but he remembered who I was through all the years we spent together, over 10 years. So he's serving life, probably more than life sentence, but he lit up in that exchange, that kingdom exchange, that magic, that bright spark. It's beautiful. But if you don't go do those things, if you don't experience those things, you're going to miss the magic. And that's part of the magic. Number three, we enjoy the kingdom through community. Another critical point. And Viola Frank, he makes this point big time in this particular part, part four, is that the kingdom is relational, right? That there are no Lone Ranger Christians out there. Jesus calls us to live in community, not isolation, right? So I thought, like, I'm going to just take my Bible and I'm going to go live in the woods. No, that's not the kingdom life. Hebrews 20, chapter 10, verses 24 through 25 says, and I quote, "Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another," end quote. So we're made to be in relationship. God created us for a relationship. He created us to enjoy God, right? We were created to do that, but the world system gets in the way of that. This spiritual separation gets in the way of that, and then we fall into our selfish patterns, our selfish ways, and we give in to world vices, and then next thing you know, we're in prison and enslaved to all that stuff. And for instance, it's more than just raising your hand and getting baptized and saying yes to Jesus. It's way more than that to be fully restored, to experience restoration and be restored as a citizen of the kingdom. There has to be a lot of, as Soren Kierkegaard used to say, it's more about subtraction than it is addition. You got to remove a lot of things, and you need help to do that. So the kingdom is family. It's not just about me and God. It's about us and God. I tell the people all the time in the prison, even in the treatment centers I go into, even here in the church community itself, there's an equation out there. It's really important. I call it the we equation. You plus I equals we. If there is no you and there is no I, there is no we, and we're in trouble. We need each other. I need you. You need me. And it's just the reality of it. When you don't show up into the community for whatever reason, you're missed and you're affecting what God wants to do there when you're not there. Yes, we have good reasons for not being in those spaces at times. For the most part, unless we're dead or on vacation, out of town, we need to be in those spaces because we're part of the chemistry, the kinetic energy that God uses. We need to be a part of that. So that's why we need to show up. So the kingdom is a family. It's just, again, it's not just about me and God. It's about us and God. I heard a story one time of a man who struggled with his faith, and he stopped attending church thinking about how he can maintain a spiritual life independently. Yeah, I really don't want to do that anymore. I'm just going to stay home. I'll watch some preachers on TV, listen to some Christian radio. I'll just do my own thing. And one evening, a pastor came by, and this illustration is an old illustration. I use it all the time at the treatment center. But the pastor came by, and he sat by the fire, and the pastor, without saying a word, he took a burning log out of the fire, and he set it aside. And the flame quickly died out. You can just use your imagination. And then the pastor, then he returned the log to the fire, right? And it began to burn again. That's a picture of the kingdom community. It keeps us burning brightly for God. But the reality of it is, if we're honest, when we first come to the kingdom, when we first come to Jesus, and I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about I went to church as a little kid or any of that stuff. I'm talking about when you came all the way in, you sat all the way down, and you said, I'm going to live this kingdom life. When you did that, I don't care where you were at in that stage of life, you came, your log was soaking wet. You showed up to the kingdom fire, bonfire, with a wet log. And because of that wet log, you didn't feel like you had anything to add to the fire. And right off the bat, you didn't, but your presence, God starts to use it already. And somebody just takes a log and they set it next to the fire and they let it start to dry out. But eventually, once it dries out, they throw it in, and guess what? The fire burns bright. But if I don't feel like I need you people anymore, I don't need the kingdom community anymore, I just need to go make more money and enjoy my hunting land and my lake property and go on vacation, I basically just take the log out of the fire and I kick it to the side. When I do this in real life, when we have these bonfire groups outside, it's a powerful metaphor because you can actually see what we're talking about in action. You know, it's the same thing if you look at the illustration of like an African illustration later. There used to be a show in St. Louis, it was born out of St. Louis, called Wild Kingdom. They had lots of different animal shows on now, but on Wild Kingdom, Merlin Perkins and the boys, they would shoot a lot of footage in Africa, and they, you know, they might show the gazelle out sitting in the field or out standing in the field grazing, and then a group of lions pull up and they hide out in the weeds and they watch and they wait. They don't just run out and attack the group, do they? No, they just sit and they wait because there's going to be one that gets naive, quits paying attention to what's going on with the rest of them, gets separated, or they're older or they're ill and they get separated, and then that's who they pounce on, the weak and the vulnerable. And that's what the dark side, the enemy, the lower power, Satan himself, is trying to do, is separate you from God any way he can. And a lot of that is I'm too busy. I got too much going on. And then you get separated, and then you become easy prey. You're a marked person, I can promise you, to be devoured. And so we need each other for that reason. Number four, the kingdom is about rest, not striving, right? It's not about striving. The rest brings us, is one of the most beautiful aspects of the kingdom, I think. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28-30, it speaks to this, and I quote, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest in your souls," end quote. So the world system teaches us to hustle. You gotta get out there and make it happen. You gotta live the dream, man. Nobody's going to do it for you. Who's going to look out for you? Number one, you. That's who. Go make it happen. And we get stuck in that. We chase it. And we got to go out there and prove our worth. I call it the delusion of inequality. I speak a lot about this, especially in addiction circles and in alcoholic circles. People suffer from alcoholism and addiction. It's a big driver to want to abuse ourselves. And it doesn't matter if it's booze, drugs, sex, food, pornography, gambling, money, spending, going down the line. Pick a worldly vice. But so much of that is driven by this very thing, this keeping up with the Joneses, as he used to say when I was a kid. That somebody gets a new car, well, I got to top it with a new car. Somebody gets a nice house, I envy that, I covet that, I want a new house. I want a new girlfriend, I want a new wife, I want a new husband, I want a new boyfriend, I want a new car, I want a new job, I want a new place to live, I want a new lawn. It's always something, because what I have is not good enough. And that's driven by this delusion of inequality, that what I have, who I am, is not enough. It's either I can go from a hero to a zero overnight, that quick, sometimes within minutes in any given time. And social media puts that on steroids. So we can really get stuck in that. But the kingdom's different. And this is really the important part. It's about finding rest in the finished work of Christ, right? You don't have to earn your place in the kingdom. You just humbly receive it. You just say yes. It's not something you do. It's something you respond to. And really important, I think, to understand that from a kingdom perspective. It's like if you went to IKEA, well, I'm sure there might be an IKEA furniture store where you're at. We have a big one here in St. Louis, and you go buy some IKEA, and you just throw away the instructions right off the bat. You just open it up and start trying to put it together. And you strive, and you struggle, and you sweat, and then you realize you missed the critical steps, or if you're like me, sometimes you get done, you got a whole bag of bolts left over. Like, I wonder what these went to. And the kingdom's just like that. It's already done the hard work for you. You just got to roll into the rest inside the kingdom and roll in the arms of Jesus, not hustle to earn your place here. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to, it's not a competition. It's simply a response to the gospel. Yes, I'm tired of living for my own self-propulsion. I'm tired of living for my own self-interest. I want to die to that, and I want to live for God's ambitions. I want to become the person God always created me to be. And that is a great way to think about today's message. So what are our main takeaways? Number one is surrender is the gateway to the kingdom. That's the swinging door. You got to surrender. We got to let go of control and let God lead. Or recovery circles, they might say, let go and let God, right? Two, we discover that the kingdom is small, everyday acts of practicing spiritual principles in all of our affairs, or if you wish, obedience. And we experience God through simple acts of love and service. Number three, we need a Jesus-centered community, a spirit-centered community, a recovery-centered community to enjoy the kingdom fully. I need to be around like-minded people that are practicing spiritual principles and going the same direction as I am, living a life of love and service. I have to have that community. You have to have that community. It's not optional. And if you don't have that community, start to find one. Figure where that's going to be. The kingdom is relational. We grow best in the fellowship with others. When I'm thinking about you, it means I'm not thinking about me. Or to put that in hillbilly terms, when I'm thinking about that corn dog, I'm not thinking about this corn dog, right? And my life doesn't get any better than that. I'm never going to be any closer to God than in that moment. When I'm not thinking about you and I'm invested in you. And in that space, that magical space, a lot of magic happens. A lot of spiritual mojo transforms you without you even knowing it. You're not the same person. And lastly, the kingdom brings rest, not striving. So Jesus invites us into his rest where we don't have to hustle to prove our worth. It's not a rank and file system. The highest thing you're ever going to be is a trusted servant in the kingdom of God. That's it. It's the highest you're ever going to be. And God wants to use us all in different ways. And we figure that out when we come here and surrender. Then the Holy Spirit gets in us and directs us, guides us, and pushes us towards what he would have us be. The best version of you and I that we've ever experienced before in our life. I can promise you that. But you got to die to yourself. So in conclusion, the kingdom is a beautiful place. It's present reality that Jesus invites us to. And you're invited to that space. It's about surrender, simplicity, community, and rest, friends. And when we embrace these truths, we experience the fullness of life in the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for inviting us into your kingdom. Help us surrender our will to yours and guide us to see your presence in the simple acts of love and service. Give us the strength to live in a community, encouraging and loving one another as you have loved us. Most importantly, teach us to rest in you, trusting in your finished work. May we experience the fullness of your kingdom in our daily lives, and may we share the joy of this kingdom with others. In your precious name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, friends, thanks for joining us. You can see how to get in touch with us here below. We'd love to hear from you. Anything that we have, all resources we have are fully available on our app. But here's our email as well. Reach out to us. We're glad to send you whatever we got to help you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. That's all we want to do. And so if we can help you do that, even from abroad, we want to do that. So reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Have a great week living out the kingdom life. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches. And that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings, and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life, and discovering the kingdom of God.